The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, fellas. That was good. Take your Bible and go back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. Now, by the way, let me remind you, Miss Baldivis is going into hospital tomorrow morning, and it's going to have total knee replacement. It's not something we're going to do a repair job on. They're actually replacing the knee. And so she's going to be down for several weeks. And so please, please pray for her and walk beside her and encourage her. What a blessing she is as one of our church pianists and does a fantastic job always. And so you continue to pray for her. Then pray for the team as we gave that out to you. And we would appreciate that. If one or two of you ladies will check on my wife while I'm gone, I would appreciate that very much. And so that's a personal favor to make sure that she's okay and she has her needs met. If maybe you want to do some special things with her, she's going to have the extra time because I'm not going to be around. And so I'm a full-time job for her, I promise you. And so if you could be a blessing to her, I know she would appreciate that. Genesis chapter 25, let me give you a view as to what's happening right here. You'll see in verse 27 that the boys grew. And so here is two young men that's growing. Esau, descriptively, was a cunning hunter in Genesis chapter 25 and in verse 27, a man of the field. Then there's Jacob. Jacob was a plain man. He was a tent-dwelling individual. You'll see in verse 28 that Isaac loved Esau. Now, he probably learned that from his dad, probably learned that from his granddad. Esau being, if you will, the firstborn and is going to receive the responsibility of the household once dad passes on. And so, he's going to try to draw close to him. He's going to try and teach him the skills of a household. He's going to try and teach him the skills of the business, if you will, please. And that way, those things could be carried on. And so, he's spending, no doubt, some extra time with Esau in the training process. But the Bible says that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, can I tell you, any mother will do this. Any mother would do this. All of a sudden, if they see that there's children that maybe dad is over here and he's spending some time with this one, you know, moms, just by nature of the fact that they love their children, they're going to kind of pick up the shortage. They really are. They're going to come over and try and spend some time with that person. And of course, mom's not a hunter. You know, she's not going to go out and hunt venison. She's not going to go out and kill a bear. She's not going to, well, she may, but most of the time it's not that way. And so there's going to be a natural, if you would please, drawing as you spend time with someone. There's going to be a natural drawing there. And perhaps that's some of the things that's taking place right here in our Bible description. You see that that Jacob sold pottage, the Bible says, and Esau came from the field. And he was faint. And so here Esau is, that mighty hunter. Man, he's out there and he's hunting. He's had a long day, maybe not as prosperous of a day that he was used to having. He's coming in. It's a tiresome day. He's dragging in. He smells that pottage. Woo! Boy, he begins to smell that pottage, and it smells just so good. And so he goes over to his brother, and the Bible says that Esau said to Jacob, now watch what he says. He says, feed me, I pray thee. It says, watch it now. It says, that same red pottage. He says, for I'm faint. So he's tired. I don't know about you. When I get tired, it's a terrible habit. But when I get tired, I love to eat. Isn't that a terrible habit? I mean, you know, it's just something inside of me that says, feed me. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so here I am. I'll eat a good breakfast. My dear wife will fix me a breakfast, and I'll come into work. But you know what? When lunchtime comes around, I love to eat. I'm going to eat again. And then after church, I may go for after church fellowship. Somebody might invite us out, or we may tag up with somebody, and we'll go grab a burger somewhere. But when I reach home, I don't know. There's just something about that closet. It's called a kitchen cabinet. And I don't know why, but when I walk in, the door's open. It's true, you know. And that kitchen cabinet door will open, and it will say, Michael. Knows me by my first name. And so I'll walk right on over there and we'll have good fellowship. Or all of a sudden that refrigerator door would just kind of pop open, you know, and all those aromas will flow out. And you know, you cannot be able to reject a flowing aroma. I mean, you know, it would almost be sinful to do that. And so I don't want to sin against the Lord God, and I don't want to sin against my wife. And so I want her to feel like she is just the spectacular cook that she is. And so I'll just eat again. All right. And so here's what we see. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee. In verse 30, he says the same red pottage. He says, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. Look at verse 31. The Bible says, and Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now stay there for a moment. So here's a young man coming in, he's faint. Here's a young man coming in, and he's just as tired as could be. And one brother is going to take advantage of another brother, because with the birthright comes the blessing. With the birthright comes responsibility. May I say this? The greater responsibility you have, the greater the blessing if you live up to the responsibility. The Bible says in verse 32, and Esau said, behold, he says, I'm at the point to die. In other words, he's saying, now looky here. I do not want to sell you my birthright. Just have sympathy on me. I mean, come on, can't you tell? I'm about to die. So would you not just go ahead and just give me that so that I don't die? The Bible says, and it says, what profit shall this birthright do to me? Oh, now he's taking a different thing. Well, if I'm going to die, I mean, I might as well give up my birthright. I mean, I might as well just go ahead and sell it, because after all, what good is it to me? How many Christians have I found over the years that they try to live for God and they get disappointed? They try and live for God, they get discouraged. And they say, well, what's the sense in even naming the name of Christ? Because after all, it's just not working out for me. And so what do? They decide that they're going to get rid of their Christian birthright simply because it's just not working out, stay with me now, to their favor. The Bible says in verse 33 that Jacob said, he says, swear unto me this day, and he swore unto him. And the Bible says that he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Now, the Bible talks about that birthright. That birthright, if you would please, that Esau did despise in verse 34 that I read to you at the very front of the message, and he despised that birthright. You know what I found out? I found out this. I found out if God could get the whole family to serve him, that there is a bigger influence than if one of the family or two of the family or three of the family decides not to serve him. Can I tell you, you'll have a greater impact for God if everybody's on board. But I found this to be true. I found that since the men are the priest of the homes, if the devil can knock the man out of his place. In other words, if the devil can take down the man, if the devil can get the man discouraged, if the devil could lay prey on the man, can I tell you, it's harder for a woman, a lady, if you will, to raise the children and to point them the right direction without a godly man. And so the devil lays prey to the man. He tries to discourage the man. Now, I want to cheer you fellows on tonight. If you're in church tonight and you have a family, can I pat you on the back in a public way and say thank God for you? Thank God that you're here. Thank God that you're in church. Thank God that you're setting the example for your family. Thank God that they can look around and say, Dad's here. Thank God for that. But I'm going to tell you how the devil works. If the devil cannot get the man, then he's going to go after the wife. He's going to go after the mother. And he works down, if you would please, the food chain. He works down the chain of command. And so he tries to get the man discouraged. He tries to get the man to give up. He tries to get the man to throw in the towel. He tries to get the man to get off course in serving God. And if the man does not get off course in serving God, he stays steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If the devil cannot get the man discouraged, then he'll go after the wife almost immediately. He tries to get the wife discouraged. He tries to put things in the pathway of the wife where the wife will not serve Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, it doesn't matter what you have as your vocation. You always should put Jesus Christ first. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen right there. Amen. You always ought to put Jesus. I don't care if you're a dentist. I don't care if you're a lawyer. I don't care if you're an entrepreneurist. I don't care tonight if you're a garbage man collector. I don't care if you're a carpenter. I don't care if you're a plumber. You ought always to put Jesus Christ first in your life. Now, by the way, that's also inside the home. And so if the devil can lay hold of you and discourage you so that you do not serve Jesus Christ, guess what? If he cannot do that to you, then he's going to go after the wife. Oh, and there's something else happens here. If he can't get the wife, he goes after the firstborn. Not just the firstborn boy, but also the firstborn girl. Because you see, the firstborns are going to lay a heritage for other siblings to follow. Normally, if the firstborn child goes awry, if the firstborn boy goes awry and does not care about serving Jesus Christ, no matter what their vocation in life may be, then the other children become quite discouraged and think that it's impossible. Oh, if you're the daughter of your parents, and you have siblings under you that are also daughters, may I tell you that when you go awry and you do not serve Jesus Christ, then the other girls that's inside of the home do not have an example to follow. Can I tell you something else? Did you know as a pastor that when our children, and I realize this, I'd like to do it someday. Brother Bachman and I partnered together when he used to come to our youth conferences there, youth congresses there in Cebu, and he would stay after and did a great job, and he would have a ministry that was there that was just for PKs. That's preacher's kids, if you don't know what that stands for. And he would do that because he's a PK. All right, and so he would stay after a little bit, and he would be able to minister, serve, if you will, and help these kids because they face things. Now, you listen to me tonight. They face things that you that are not a PK will never face in your life. You know, somebody said that PK kids live in a fishbowl. I've heard that so often as I talk to preacher's kids. They live in a fishbowl. You say, that's not fair, but God is the one that put you in that family. So all things are fair when it comes to God doing God's work. But can I tell you, here's what the devil does. The devil tries to destroy that firstborn. The devil tries, whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl, the devil tries to reach his nasty hands into there and to be able to cause problems and divisions and discouragements and despair and depression and destruction and maybe even death. You understand that the devil is a master. He's a master. You understand tonight that he was not born just a year before you, but he was a created. And yes, sin against God was kicked out of heaven and now here on earth. And so he tries to destroy. Now, let me give you a couple things tonight. May I do it? Statement number one, he tries to destroy our relationship with God. Now, what we ought to say is this. We ought to say, no, that is not for sale. We ought to say that our relationship with God. Now, by the way, I'm talking to daddies tonight. I'm talking to mamas tonight. I'm talking to firstborns tonight. And I'm talking to all the children that come underneath the firstborn. We all ought to love God tonight enough to say, get out of my face. Hey, go home. Amen. Now, can I tell you, listen, don't let the devil destroy your relationship with God. Our relationship with God tonight ought not to be for sale. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 17, the Bible says, and he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn. The Bible says, listen to it now. It says, for the giving of him a double portion of all that he had. Do you realize tonight that this is talking about the firstborn? Matter of fact, the latter portion of the verse says this. It says, the right of the firstborn is his. Now, can I tell you, the devil does not want you to cash in, if I may say so, on your rights. He does not want you to get the blessings of God. He does not want you to have God answering your prayer. But can I tell you that God loves you enough tonight that God wants you, yes, you. It doesn't matter what age you are. It does not matter who your parents are. But God wants a personal relationship with you whereby you can come and cry, Abba, Father, and He's your Father, and you can go to Him and get answered prayer as what you are supposed to get in your life. So can I say tonight, our relationship with God ought not to be for sale. Statement number two, our relationship with our parents ought not to be for sale. Our relationship with our, and don't forget now, Esau cutting hunter, Esau out in the field, if you would please. Esau, if you will, knew how to trap and knew how to scout and knew how to hunt and knew how to kill. And he was an expert in everything that he did. Jacob, the Bible, calls him the surplanter. He's the deceiver. Jacob comes in one day to his daddy. His daddy's going blind. Isaac can barely see. And so Isaac sees that there's a silhouette there. And the silhouette looks like one of his boys. Not being able to see like he should be able to see, Isaac reaches out and he touches the hand and the arm, the forearm of the boy. And he hears the boy speak. And he says, now, wait a minute. That voice right there, that voice sounds like the voice of Jacob. But he says, it feels, because old Jacob, if you would, took that which was the venison hair off of that animal that was butchered. And perhaps he glued it with some Jewish glue. To his hand. And now it feels like a hairy hand. Well, you know, the Bible says that Jacob was a plain man, but Esau was a hairy man. And so now all of a sudden Jacob comes in. Daddy can barely see. Daddy is going blind. He's getting ready to give the blessing. And he raises his voice to the heavens. And he gives the blessing. He gives the blessing, if you will, to the wrong boy. Why? Because he went by his feelings and not by the word. Amen. You know, most of the time I see that parents, they make decisions based on feelings, but not by the word. I see that Christians all over, they make decisions based on feelings. Well, I feel like this is right. Well, I just feel like this is what God. Well, you know why people leave churches? Because they get their feelings hurt. I've seen people leave church because somebody sits in their pew. I've seen people leave church because somebody parks in their parking spot. I've seen people leave church because somebody bought a dress that's the same color that woman wanted to buy. I've seen people leave church because somebody got up and sang the song. They've been practicing for 4 years, and this person got up and sang it and could do a better job than they could do if they practiced it four more. I've seen people leave church because, that person is more kind to them than they are to me. I've seen people leave church because they think that people's gathering out in the hallway talking about them when in actuality they don't even know they're living. I'm saying this, there's people, if you will, that, and by the way, children do the same thing. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 2, the Bible says, gather, it says, yourselves together and hear, ye sons of Jacob. He says, and hearken unto Israel your father. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 3, Reuben, it says, thou art my firstborn. Listen to it now as a descriptive way that it is described about Reuben. The Bible says, my might, the beginning of my strength. It talks about the excellency, if you would please, of that which is the dignity and about the power that is coming to that which is Reuben, the firstborn. You know, there's a lot to say. I'm telling you, if the devil cannot get the daddy, he'll go after the mama. If the devil cannot get the mama, he's going to go after that firstborn. Why? Because if he gets the firstborn, it's going to trip up everybody else that comes after that firstborn. The devil is hot on your trail tonight, and the devil wants to destroy you. The devil is hot on your trail tonight. You say as the firstborn tonight, I tell you what, it's not important what I do. I'm submitting to you tonight. It's very important what you do. Why? Because you have people that's watching you and people that's caring and people that's trying and people that's going forward trying to do the will of God. I'm saying that we ought to decide tonight that our relationship with God is not for sale. We ought to decide tonight that our relationship with our parents is not for sale. We ought to decide tonight that our children, stay with me now, our children are not for sale. You know, before you lay your life down for some stranger along the way, you ought to be willing to lay your life down for your own children. Oh, you say, I can't talk to my child because my child, they'll get emotional. And they may get mad at me. I'd rather my child hear the truth about something and get mad at me and go the right direction than for my child never to learn the truth and wind up living an error all the days of their life. We have such selfish young people. We have young people, you won't believe this, but we have young people that think that their parents ought to bow down to them. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If anybody ought to do the bowing, it ought to be the child bowing down to the parents. Can I tell you tonight, you ought never to try and break your mom and daddy's heart. Can I tell you tonight, if you got a mom and daddy that's in church, you say, well, they're not perfect. Well, Bubba, look in the mirror and you'll see somebody else that's not perfect. You know, can I tell you tonight, you ought to thank God that you have a dad or you have a mom that's trying. Oh, but they could do better. Well, look what they got to work with. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that our children, let's not sell them out. We ought to say tonight our children are not for sale. Exodus chapter 22 and verse 29, the Bible says, thou shalt not delay, it says, to offer the firstborn, it says, of the ripe fruits, and it says, of thy liquors, and it says, of the firstborn of thy sons thou shalt give unto me. So God said, I want you to give that firstborn back to me. Back to me. Oh, you know what? You know what? You know why some people do not want their children to attend a fundamental independent Baptist church? You know what? I'll tell you why. Because fundamental independent Baptist preachers normally are straight shooters. They're straight shooters. They're going to preach it as it is. And I think some people are afraid for their children to come because, after all, they're afraid the Holy Ghost might just become real to them. Right. And it might, you know, I preached at youth conference over in the Philippines, and there are many, many times that a young girl will come and she'll say, I've studied to be a nurse, you know, for the past 7 years. But preacher, tonight the Holy Ghost showed me. He wants me to go to the mission field to reach people on the backside of a desert somewhere. And I think that sometimes people are afraid of that. Well, I don't want my kids to be called of God to do something lofty for him because, after all, they may leave home. I love our daughter. My wife knows how much, and Rebecca knows how much. And I believe that as we talked, it was the will of God for her to go to the cosmetology and do all that. But they would tell you, oh, did I weep like a baby? You know why? Oh, not because that she was going to where we all thought it was the will of God, but there's that daddy's heart. Now, don't tell me if you're a daddy, you don't have a daddy's heart. Don't do that. Don't tell me if you're a mama that you don't have a mama's heart. Hey, don't do that. I was with the Hall family, and the girl was getting ready to leave to go to Bible school, to go to Bible college. And, oh, I watched them as their two girls are getting ready to go off to Heartland to go to Bible college. And oh, their hearts were just sinking. I watched Brother Butler as Mark was getting ready to leave and go full-time in the military. I've watched Mrs. Butler, and I watched their hearts begin to sink. I watch it. I watch as they begin to sink, and Brother Butler's come to me and said, boy, I tell you, it's going to be so hard. Oh, it's going to be so hard. My son's going to be gone. My daughter-in-law's going to be gone. And he said, oh, those grandkids. If we could just keep the grandkids, it wouldn't be so bad. And they had not yet convinced Felicia to do that yet. But I'm saying this. I'm saying our children ought not to be for sale. The Bible says in Psalm 127 and verse 3, though children, stay with it now, though children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You ought to love your children. You ought to care about your children. Boy, my kids, they come up and they say, Daddy, I need something. Can I tell you? I just can't say no. Now, I probably should. But I just can't say no. You know why? And mama can't say no. You know why? Because we have our children's best interests at heart. And we love our kids. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying our children should not be for sale. Hannah, over in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me, it says, my petition, which I've asked of him. Therefore, also will I have lent him to the Lord. It says, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Now, what did he do? What did she do? She gave that firstborn. Yes, she did. To the Lord. And she said, as long as that firstborn lives, here's what I want. I just want that firstborn to serve God and to live for God and to step up and do something for God. And by the way, you don't have to go in full, let me help you out. You don't have to go in full-time Christian ministry in order to serve God. You know, we have people sitting in this room tonight that are business people and they serve God. They go soul winning. Yes, they do. They give. Yes, they do. They'll maybe work a bus route. Oh, yes, they do. Maybe they'll even teach a Sunday school class. And they'll go to work, leaving at 4:30. Some of them, 5 o'clock in the morning, to drive into work. And they work all day long. And then all of a sudden, when soul winning time comes, they pop up. Say, why? A love for God. Now, I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that our relationship with God ought not to be for sale. I'm saying our relationship with our parents ought not to be for sale. I'm saying that our relationship with our children ought not to be for sale. I thank God that you get to work. I thank God. God's given you a good job. But do not forsake your children. Your children need a daddy. Your children need a mother. Don't spend all your days chasing the almighty dollar, and your children don't even know you. Take some family day trips. Talk in the evening time. Talk in the morning time. Get back to old-fashioned Bible reading at night. Have some time of praying. Have some time of heart-to-heart talk and answer their questions, because I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. If you don't answer their questions, they're going to just go to somebody else that will. Talk to them. You've only got one shot at that. You've only got one shot. One day they'll be older. One day they'll leave. And the principles that you taught them, hopefully they've caught. And they'll live them in their own life. But can I tell you, one day you're going to get to see the fruit of your labor. Why? Because you'll get to see if that young person bought in to serving and loving an almighty God. May I say this tonight? I'm saying that our relationship with God ought not be for sale. Our relationship with our parents ought not be for sale. Our relationship with our children ought not be for sale. Let me hasten. Our relationship to our heritage ought not be for sale. I've said this before. Curtis Hudson said, he said, Baptist born and Baptist bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Well, that's a nice little tiddly-diddly. I can't say that. I can say Catholic born and Catholic bred. When I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Because I was not raised up this way. I was not raised up in a Baptist movement. I was not raised up in a Christian home. But I thank God for my dear daddy. I thank God for the blessed memory of my dear mother. Oh, you say, were they perfect? No. Did they have sinful habits? Yes. But I thank God that God gave me a daddy. You know how many children are alive today that don't have a daddy? You know how many children are alive today that don't even know their mother? Boy, and I had the privilege to know my daddy. My daddy taught me character. Oh, yes, he did. He taught me to get up. He taught me the work. He taught me not to be lazy. He taught me to be a man's man and never back down when you know that right is right. Well, my daddy instilled some good character inside of me. And hopefully I passed that along to our little ones. Now, can I say this tonight? our heritage ought not to be for sale. 2 Chronicles chapter 21 and in verse 3. The Bible says their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and precious things and fenced cities of Judah. Then the Bible says because he was, it's talking about Jeroboam there, but it's talking about here that because he was the firstborn. That's how come he got those things. Because he was the firstborn. Now, I'm going somewhere, but you know, for those of you tonight that are saved, you're likened on to the firstborn. God has given you some wonderful things. God has been so good to you. Wow, we get to come to church with air condition. Woo! All those many years we'd travel and I'd take teams over to the Philippines and we'd preach to auditoriums full of thousands of people. And oh, did we sweat? There's no air condition. I know I see people up in the balcony, they're fanning, trying to take flight as they get ready to go. But, you know, but sometimes it's cooler in some places and other places and stuff like that. But did you know, overall, we got a pretty nice air-conditioned building. We got padded pews. I remember preaching in a church, and it was open. I mean, just a roof on the thing, that's it. You know, just open. Here I'm preaching, I'm getting with it. And you know, there is a cat that enjoyed it so much. I'm preaching, I'm stomping, I'm running back and forth, and here comes a cat scurrying across the platform. Well, nobody else paid attention to it, but I sure did lose my train of thought. I'm saying this tonight, I'm saying thank God for your heritage. Look, stop being so hard on your parents. Look, can I champion your parents for a little bit? You said, but preacher, they're not perfect. Neither are you. Preacher, they don't have all the answers. They got more than you. But preacher, they're not all that wise. They're wiser than you are. I'm saying tonight, our children are not for sale. Our relationship with God is not for sale. Our relationship with the parents ought not be for sale. Our heritage ought not be for sale. Let me hasten to a close as I am right now. Our service for God ought not be for sale. I have little kids come up and they say, preacher, you look tired. Well, it might be I'm 56. Maybe that's a part of it. I don't know. Or it might be I need orange juice. I'm not sure about that. I'm trying to stay away from the geritol for those of you that's older and know what that is. But now watch this. I think you ought to serve God and give it everything you got.
That's right. Yes,
sir. I do. I just think it'd be ashamed if I got up here and I became one of these brethren in the Lord that just walked around and just kind of ever so casual. I try and preach loud. You say, why you do that, preacher? Because I'm trying to keep you awake. Now, it's true. Every time I get monotone, here's what happens. I'm telling you, it's true. I'm telling you, I watch people. And every time I get monotone, I stay monotone for some time. Here's what happens. And then your little kid is looking up at you like, they're waiting for your head to drop in prayer, you know. That spit starts coming out. That's horrible stuff. You ever see somebody in there, the jerker? I didn't say they were a jerk. I said they're jerker. They go down and they catch themselves. It's some of the funny stuff you ever watch. Just watch people sometime while I preach. It's so good. They fall asleep. And they'll just... The eyes go... It's funny. Somebody said, you put them to sleep. It's your job to wake them up. Well, that's why I shout a little bit. Numbers chapter 8 and verse 17. The Bible says, and all the firstborn of the children of Israel... Listen to it now, please. And all the firstborn of the children of Israel are mine, both man and beast. The Bible says, on that day, I have smote every firstborn in the land of Egypt. I have sanctified them for myself. So God said, now wait a minute. I even paid attention to the firstborn as I preached this morning, how to overcome hard things. He said, I even pay attention to the firstborn of those that are unsaved. See, God has a keen interest in the firstborn. In the firstborn. Joshua, our secondborn, was, I don't know where he was, but he was asked to preach. I have no idea where he was. I think of some youth camp somewhere that they asked the younger boys, I guess, to preach in the morning time or something like that. I don't remember. But I remember standing on the side of the hill, and boy, he's getting with it. Oh, he's just getting with it. I mean, he was shelling the corn. He's just getting with it. And he was rearing back, and he was preaching. He was getting a start to the pulpit, and he was a running up, and he'd hit that thing, and he, and I looked for a while, and I thought, hey, that's pretty neat. I'm going to watch this. And all of a sudden, he took off his jacket, just kept a preaching. Next thing I knew, he took off his tie. He unbuttoned that first button right there. I thought, dear Lord, no, no. I mean, I could see it now. He's going to take off his shirt. Then comes the undershirt. Then comes the socks. Oh, we'll stop. But he was excited about preaching. He was excited about what God... All right. Here's how preachers are. At least this is how this preacher is. I'll study something, and boy, God says, woo, now you can deliver that. And then I take that thing from God, and I say, oh, Father, I can deliver that. And then I get excited. See, before you hear the message, I've already preached it to me about 20 or 30 times. I preach it to me while I'm laying on my bed at night. I see people coming to the altar. I do. Now, not by their faces, but I see them. And I get so excited about the Word of God. You know why? Because I believe it. I just believe it. Ben, come up here, if you will, and bring this over here. And so here's what happens. And so stand up right over here, if you will. And so there Ben is. And bring it right over here. And right about midway. Sit it right there, and I'm done. Closing illustration. Here we go. Hurry up. Lord's coming right there. Thank you very much. And so here's what happens. All of a sudden, this young man is out there, and he's out there hunting. I mean, he's given it everything that he's got. He's out in the field, and he's hunting. And by the way, he's not used to that. I mean, he's a homespun boy. He's been helping Mama in the tent. I don't know if he knows how even to hold a bow and arrow. I'm not really sure if anybody trained him. But here he is. He's out there. And, you know, I'm sorry. You're not that boy. You're that boy. And he's a mama's boy, if you will. And you can tell he's a mama's boy the way he looks. Oh. And and he's stirring his pottage right here. He's stirring his pottage. And, you know, he knew how to cook and stuff like that. He didn't know much about the field. We'll get it right here. And so he comes in. He's faint. He's tired. Maybe he had a bad day. I don't know. And he comes over, and he tries to get the pottage for free, and it doesn't work. And by the way, if you ever try to get any food from Ben, it won't work. that's what his mama said. And all right, and so he's stirring his pottage, and all of a sudden he comes in all faint, and he said, would you give me some? Of course, the answer is going to be, well, I'll tell you what, I'll sell it to you. Now, by the way, at that time, he should have said, no way, Ben. No way do I want your food. You're not even stirring it right. I mean, no way. But he didn't do that. And all of a sudden, he speaks up and he says, well, I'll tell you what, if you would just give me your birthright, let's switch. You give me the birthright. You give me that. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you all the pottage that you want. So here, the trade takes place. So he goes over and he just stands over here. And he's got a whole bowl of pottage. He begins to eat it up. Just eating it up. Eating it up. Yeah, eating it up. Now, wait a minute, watch this. And after it's done, stay with me now, it's over. Amen. Does that remind you of sin? Yes. There's the pleasure of sin for how long? Season. Here somebody says, well, I tell you what, I want to do what I want to do. I'm going to go where I want to go. I'm going to try the drugs, and I'm going to try the alcohol, and I'm going to try the worldly amusements, and I'm going to try the wicked type of relationships. That's what I'm going to do. But after a while, it's all gone. And you wind up empty. Then you think, why did I do that? That didn't make any sense whatsoever. I want to submit something to you. We have young people. It's in our presence right now. Now, I want to say something to you parents. I'm going to help you. But our young people, most of them are not mature enough to have a cell phone.
You're right. You're right.
We have more young people getting in trouble that's in my presence right now with cell phones than anything else. You say, but preacher, they need a cell phone. Well, now, wait a minute. Let me reason with you. If they're on the soul winning bus and they need to call mama, Brother Jonathan has one. Heather has one. All the other workers have one. You say, but preacher, what if they work in Walmart and they need to call home? Oh, there's about 5,000 people at Walmart that have one. You know, here's what I'm finding out. Here's what I'm finding out. All of a sudden, that flesh creeps up. Creeps up. And then that young person gets alone. And they've already sold their birthright. And so here's what they're doing. They're getting alone, and they're whispering on the cell phone. They're sending pictures on the cell phone. They're building relationships on the cell phone. And then all of a sudden, it's empty. And they say, well, I didn't get anything out of that. But you hurt somebody. And you got hurt. Now, I love you in the name of the Lord, but you listen to me. You have to be very careful as a parent. Understand what I'm saying tonight. You know, there's these things. Any of you boys got a cell phone? You? All right, you got one. Watch this. There's these things out there called smartphones. Now, you know why they're called smartphones? They have to be called smartphones because they have unsmart users, and somebody's got to be smart in the relationship. But they have smartphones. You know, now look, you say, oh, you're not giving me Bible. Oh, how about staying pure? How about being holy as I am holy? Hey, how about keeping yourself above reproach? You know, I know parents that buy their 6-year-old cell phones. I know parents that buy their 10-year-old cell phones. Oh, yeah, they do. They buy 11-year-old cell phones. 12-year-old, 13-year-olds. You kidding me? Kids still got pimples. Man, they're buying 14, 15. Now, wait a minute. Now I think, man, when you go to college somewhere and you're away from daddy and mama, they ought to get you a phone. And if you're mature enough to handle it, they ought to decide what type of one they get you. But you know, most of our young people, and I love you, I do love you, but most of our young people are not mature enough to handle it. Now, I'm speaking to you as your pastor. You say, well, I'm mad at you. Well, listen to me while you're mad. But most of our young people get in trouble with the cell phone. We have boys texting girls and girls texting boys and all sorts of stuff. Now, you say, well, what do I do? Well, take it back. You probably get some money off of it. Sell it on the street. Run over it with your car. But I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, you kids, now you're going to be mad at me. I know you won't pray for me now. I'm in the Philippines. I know my plane is going to get longer, and I'm going to be riding on that plane for the next 42 days. But listen, I love you enough to try and help you, and I'm just signing a warning. I'm shouting a warning because our young people, I'm seeing our young people make stupid, foolish mistakes. Simply because of the fact, here's what happened. They come into a daddy, if you will. They come in, if you will, to somebody, or they'll come to a friend. Let's say a friend. Put that down there. They'll come to a friend, and they'll begin to complain. Here's what they do. They complain. Oh, you don't know. You don't know the home that I live in. Oh, I'm so faint, and I'm so weak, and I'm so poverty-stricken. Oh, you don't know the trouble that I've had. I need some relief, such as playing a game on my cell phone when I could be reading my Bible. Oh, I just need some help. Yeah. Oh, would you help me? And they make an appeal. Most of the time, they don't make an appeal to their mom or daddy. They'll make an appeal to a friend.
Yeah. Right.
And that friend says, well, I tell you what, if you're willing to give up a little piece of your Christianity, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a phone.
Yes,
that's what happens.
That's right.
Come on, somebody say amen.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I'm saying tonight, listen, and then they'll begin to take it in and take it in and take it in and take it in. But, you know, it winds up being not what you thought it was and kind of empty on the inside and stuff like that. I'm saying tonight, listen, don't sell your kids down. Don't sell your kids down the tubes.
Right.
Don't do that. Make sure that relationship stays right. Make sure. Now, I'm your pastor, and I can preach to you as your pastor. But you listen to me tonight. Oh, here he is out in the field. Here he is. And by the way, good hunter. Good hunter. I mean, old Esau knew exactly what he was doing. You had the deceiver, if you would please, that's Jacob. And he goes out over here, and he's hunting, and he's hunting, and he's hunting. And he's just killing something and something like that. And he comes in. And by the way, this person right here does not, I submit to you, does not have an interest in him. Doesn't have an interest in him. But he'll feel a need. He'll feel a need. So he comes in and says, I've got a need. Now wait, watch this. Let's go back to that firstborn and I'm done. Don't let anybody destroy you if you're the firstborn. You've got all these that are your siblings that are looking up to you. They're following you. Your firstborn son, your firstborn daughter. You got people looking up to you. Looking up to you. You're the firstborn in a church because you're the pastor's kid. You got people looking up to you. Don't ruin that. Don't throw that out.
Amen.
You decide tonight that here's what you're going to do. When you get faint and you get weary, you get on your knees and you go to God and say, God, please help me. God, you supply my need. God, you work in my life and you help me and you walk with me and you lead me. And God, I'm going to rely on you to be able to meet my need. And let God be God in your life. Don't sell it down the tubes. Father, bless, we do pray tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.